Chapter 16 with me tonight. Just want to share with you a passage of scripture that has really meant a lot to me, just in reaching the lost. You know, each one of us, I would say, every day of our lives, we come across people, whether it's at the grocery store or maybe even our neighbors. We know of people that are lost, that need the gospel. We see here in Luke chapter 16, we'll start in verse 19, a passage of scripture about a certain rich man. It says there in verse 19, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to meet in your house tonight, Lord. Thank you for just the message of your word, Lord, to take it out, to give it out to those who are in need of it, Lord, who do not know you as their Savior. Lord, may we have a desire to see souls saved, Lord, those that we know as our friends or neighbors or co-workers, Lord, that we would have the desire and burden to share with them the gospel so that they can be saved. Lord, just ask you would bless this time in your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see here in this passage of scripture these two men. We see there in verse 19 the rich man and how that he was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And as we look at his life, we see how he lived a very pleasant and comfortable life in his riches, and he was very satisfied with what all he had. And he lived just a very pleasant life. And it says there that he was clothed in purple and fine linen. And in those days, to be clothed in purple was to mean that you were somebody of importance in the community, someone that was looked up to. And the fine linen was very expensive. It was all done by hand, took a long time to make and such, and so it was very costly. And then he fared sumptuously every day, meaning that he had the finest meals and just full, you know, 3-4-course meals every day, as much as he wanted was there at his hand. He wasn't in need of anything as far as he was concerned. But then we see in verse 20, a certain beggar named Lazarus, he was laid at his gate, that being the rich man's gate, and he was full of sores. He had some sort of disease that had covered his body, and these sores that were just had taken over, and they were very painful, very just disgusting to look at. But his body was covered in them. And it says there in verse 21 that he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Imagine with me the man who had not known what it was to have a full meal. A man who was just hoping for a few crumbs to be able to have for food. And it says there in verse 21, in the end there, that the dogs came and licked his sores. I see a man who was unable to take care of himself, a man who was just completely destitute, a man who his life had become just down to begging by a rich man's gate. And so as we look at these two men, we see the complete opposite in their lives and the distinction between the rich man and how he was clothed in the fine and nice clothes and had all the great food and everything like that, and his needs all taken care of, and Lazarus the beggar, and they're unable to take care of himself, completely destitute. But as we look in verse 22, we see that even though they lived completely different lives, they came to the very same point of death. It says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried." You see, there's no escaping death. No matter the life you live, we will all face death one day if the Lord tarries. If not, and he calls us home. But each one of us has an appointment with death. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." You see, we all have that appointment. We can't escape it. One day we will have to come face to face with death. But it's after death that matters. After this, the judgment. And we see here in verse 23, it carries on about the rich man. It says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." We see the judgment here take place in this rich man's life, and that he lived his life not knowing Christ. In verse 24, and it says, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." You see, the rich man did not know Christ as a Savior, even though he had the fine clothes and lived sumptuously in his life. He did not know Christ as a Savior and would end up in hell in torment and anguish. And Lazarus the beggar, though he lived a completely destitute life and he was having to sit by the gate begging, he knew Christ and was therefore taken to Abraham's bosom, which was later be heaven. We see in verse 25 how Abraham responds to the rich man that he in his lifetime receives the good things and likewise Lazarus the evil things. Now Lazarus is the one that is comforted and rich man is the one in the torment and anguish of hell. And in verse 26 he goes on to explain to the rich man that there's a great gulf fixed, that no one can pass from either direction. And as I look at this rich man, I see that at this point he realizes that his eternal destination is fixed, that cannot be altered, cannot be changed. No matter what he could try to do, he will forever be in the torment and anguish of hell. And as I look back at this rich man's life, as I look at how he lived his life, and though he had the fine clothes and he had just the great food and everything, and Lazarus laid outside his gate, I see a man who was focused on himself. I see a man who was very selfish in his life. And as we see him even after life, after death, we see there in hell, as he's in torment and anguish, he looks up and he sees Lazarus, and he doesn't focus on Lazarus being in the comfort of Abraham's bosom. He doesn't focus on the fact that Lazarus, the one who had laid outside his gate begging, unable to take care of himself, is now in the comfort of Abraham's bosom. But instead, he looks at Lazarus and he says, "Send him over with a drop of water to cool my tongue." I see a man who was focused on himself. But after verse 26, once he realizes that his eternal destination is fixed, that it cannot be changed, I see a man now concerned about others. It says in verse 27, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house." And verse 28 shows the reason why. It says, "For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come in this place of torment." I see a man who is now realizing that torment and anguish of hell is real, that it's for all eternity, that it cannot be changed once a person has entered into it, cannot change that destination. I see a man who now becomes concerned for his five brethren. And the question that I would have for you tonight is, what will it take for us to be concerned about the lost? You see, for this rich man, he had to experience the torment and anguish of hell for himself. He had to realize for himself that it was real. He had to go into the torment and anguish before he would become concerned about others, before he would realize that there are those who are lost and on their way to hell. And he would say, "Send someone to my father's house to testify unto them, lest they also come in this place of torment." What would it take for us? You see, if we're saved, we don't have to worry about ever experiencing the torment and anguish of hell. We're sealed if we're saved, and we know Christ is our Savior. We will go to heaven. But are we concerned about those who don't know Christ as their Savior? Are we concerned for the five brethren of those that are in the torment and anguish of hell? You see, this rich man is still there in hell today, crying out in torment and anguish. And I wonder if anyone did go and warn his five brethren. I wonder if anyone did go and testify unto them and tell them that hell is real. You see, there's billions and probably trillions of people in hell today that might be calling out, "Send someone to my father's house. Send someone to my brethren. Send someone to my family to warn them, to testify unto them." Have we heard that cry? Are we concerned about those who don't know Christ as their Savior and are on their way to a torment and anguish like we can never imagine? Look with me over in Romans chapter 10. You see, there's hope for the lost. They don't have to live their life not knowing. They don't have to live their life afraid of going into the torment and anguish of hell. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, the whosoever is inclusive of every person that breathes life upon this earth. I'm thankful that one day as a six-year-old boy, I was part of that whosoever, and I called upon the Lord, and I was saved. But in verse 14, we see three different questions here. It says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" You see, in order for those who are lost, in order for those who are on their way to hell, in order for them to believe, to call upon the name of the Lord, they must have someone tell them. And they must hear it in order to believe. They must hear it in order to be able to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. But in verse 15 it says, "How shall they preach except they be sent?" This rich man was calling out to Abraham to send someone, to send Lazarus, someone to go to his father's house to testify to his brethren. You see, we have that same cry, that same call for someone to go to the brethren, the family of those who are in hell and in torment and anguish. They're saying, "Send someone to my father's house to testify unto them." In the end of verse 15 there, it says, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You see, those who carry the gospel out to a lost and dying world, those who carry out the good news of salvation to those who are lost and don't know Christ as their Savior, Christ looks at them and says, "They have beautiful feet because they're doing my work of getting the gospel out getting the word out, testifying to those who are in need of salvation so that they can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Look with me back in Luke chapter 16, in verse 26, as I mentioned earlier, how Abraham responded to the rich man, explaining to him that the great gulf is fixed there. It says, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. You see, what the rich man is being told here is that those that would go from the torment and anguish over into the comfort and rest of Abraham's bosom or heaven, it's impossible for them to do so. And you see, their destiny, once they are there, their eternal destination, once they are in that torment and anguish, is fixed. And we can no longer reach them with the gospel. It's too late at that point if they have gone into the fire of hell. It's too late to get them the gospel, to reach them so that they can hear and call upon the name of the Lord. And as I look at this verse, I look at these two statements. That last one, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. As I look at that, I say I can easily understand why anyone would want to go from the torment and anguish of hell over into the comfort and peace and rest of heaven. But as I look at this verse in that middle phrase there, it says, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. As I have pondered this verse, I ask myself this question. Why would anyone want to go from the peace and rest and comfort of heaven over into the torment and anguish of hell? Because you see, I don't know anyone who would voluntarily say, I'll take torment and anguish over peace and rest and comfort. I don't know anyone that would voluntarily do so. But as I looked at this verse and as I studied it and meditated upon it, I just kept asking myself, why would anyone, why would this be put in there, that anyone that would pass from the comfort and rest of heaven over into the torment and anguish of hell? Why does that have to be explained that no one can do that? And as I thought about that verse, I thought about Ezekiel 3:18, which says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. As I thought about this verse in Luke chapter 16, I thought, you know, what if there comes a day when we're in heaven and we look over and we see those in the torment and anguish of hell? And just as this rich man recognized Lazarus and called him by name, what if there's going to be a day when we look over and we see a friend or a coworker, a neighbor, or maybe even a family member there in the torment and anguish of hell? And the burden would be so great upon us, the desire would be so immense, that if we could endure that torment and anguish for just that brief moment, that we would pull them out. We would take them over to the comfort and rest of heaven. But you see, at that point it's too late. We cannot pull them out of that flame. We cannot pull them out of that torment and anguish. But today we have that availability. Today we have the time. Today we can give them the gospel and pull them out of that fire. Today we can tell them about Christ. We can tell them about salvation's plan. They can call upon the name of the Lord and they can be saved and not have to go into the torment and anguish of hell. But as Ezekiel is saying, if we know someone who needs the gospel, we know someone who needs that warning, and we fail to give it to them, and then they die in their iniquity. The Lord said he's going to require their blood at our hand. And I wonder how many people do we have with their blood on our hands? Maybe they've already passed away and they've already gone into that torment and anguish. And we didn't give them the gospel. And the Lord's going to say, I gave you the opportunity to warn them, and you didn't do so. And I'm requiring their blood at your hand. But I wonder how many people we have that are still waiting for the gospel that the Lord has placed in our life to be able to warn them, to be able to testify unto them. And every day that we fail to do so is another day closer to eternity. And the less time that we have to give them the gospel. You see, this rich man, he had five brethren that he was concerned about. He had five brethren that he did not want to end up in the torment and anguish as he was in. And you see, many times I believe that we get caught up in our lives and we may not be in the same circumstances as this rich man as far as having the fine clothes and the great abundance of food and everything. But we can get the same attitude as he had and get the same selfish focus as he had. And we can forget about those who are around us in need of the gospel. We can forget about those who the Lord has placed in our lives to be a witness to testify with the gospel. We forget about those that are right close to us, maybe even our own family members, because we get focused on our own needs, our own desires, instead of focused on fulfilling God's work in our life, fulfilling God's desire and purpose in our life to be a testimony and a witness every day of our lives. The question that I have for you tonight is, who are those people in your life? Maybe five, maybe more than that. Who are those people in your life that need the gospel, that need the warning, that need to be testified unto, lest they also go into the place of torment called hell? Have we reached those people? If we haven't, then we have a lot of work to do. If we haven't, we need to make ourselves available of the time. We need to take the time that we have before it's too late, before they slip off into eternity, and we no longer can reach them with the gospel, and they end up in torment and anguish of hell for all eternity. If we haven't reached them yet, then maybe we only have a little bit of time. We have to use it before it's too late. Who are those people in your life? You see, the Lord has placed the burden of Brazil upon our hearts to reach them with the gospel. An entire city, as far as we know, completely unreached with the truth. 75-some thousand people that need the truth. But that's not just one place out of the world. I believe there's many places around this world that are exactly the same way, that are unreached with the gospel, that there are people dying every day without the truth. What are we doing to reach them? Are we doing everything we can to ensure that they get the gospel? Or have we, like this rich man, become focused on ourselves and forgetful of those who are in need of the gospel? Let us become concerned. Let us be burdened for the souls of those who are on their way to hell without the gospel, that need someone to warn them. And maybe there's a person in your life that the Lord's saying, I'm going to require their blood at your hand. And it's your responsibility to give them the warning. Who is that person? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for just your word and the truth Lord, of it and how we can apply it in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the account of this rich man and how we can look at his life and realize, Lord, that living a life for ourselves is unrewarding. And yet, Lord, we each have someone in our life that needs the gospel. And we ask, Lord, that you would just give us a burden and desire to reach them, to go and to warn them, to testify unto them, so that they don't have to go into the place of torment and anguish called hell. And Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, may this be the day, Lord, that they call upon you and be saved. Lord, I just ask you would work in the midst of your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.